This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Ernest, what's up? Look, quick question. How is your social battery doing right now? I'll be honest, mine is a bit on the low side. Maybe it's not setting enough boundaries or just a typical slowdown after our super hectic work schedule. It's so easy to overlook our social needs or overextend ourselves, isn't it? What's your ideal balance of socializing? And how do you recharge? Whether you find energy in crowds or need more time to yourself, understanding your social needs is crucial. I remember a time when I struggled to balance my social engagement with my personal downtime. Y'all know us, we're always outside. So what really helped me was learning to recognize my limits and prioritizing my well-being. I've heard plenty of my peers champion therapy as a great tool for gaining this kind of insight. It's not just for big life issues. It's also about enhancing your day-to-day life by equipping you with the skills to manage your social energy effectively. So if you're considering therapy, why not check out BetterHelp? It's an entirely online service, making it incredibly convenient and adaptable to your lifestyle. Just start with a quick questionnaire and you'll be matched with a licensed therapist. And if you feel the need to switch therapists for any reason, you can do so at any time without any extra cost. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/earnyourleisure today to get 10% off your first month. Remember, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/earnyourleisure. Don't wait, don't hesitate, head over there now.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Obviously, you've created your own formula. How do you protect it from somebody who's saying like, oh, I can do the same thing? Is it something that you try to patent, or how does that work?
It is patent. Nobody can, you know. Plan. Yeah, I'm telling you, I got the business right before I got the business right. You know what I'm saying?
504 ain't
playing. Out the trenches, baby. It took a lot to get here. Y'all ain't about to come take it from me.
My graduates from my school... being Forbes, bag drop, a mic drop, bag drop.
Money, it comes with a lot of questions, and Fidelity can help you get answers. Visit fidelity.com/blackwealth to learn more.
All right, guys, welcome back, EYL.
Yeah.
Back home after traveling around the world. And this is something that we actually been looking forward to for a while. Dope episode. And we've covered the marijuana industry a few times.
Indeed.
Shout out to Al Harrington. Shout out to a few people that we've covered in this space. But this is something that's interesting. I just told them, the only thing that I do smoke is hookah.
Hookah. Shisha.
Shisha, yeah.
What a shisha.
Yeah. So, you know... I'm not sure who introduced this to us.
Shisha?
This interview.
Oh.
God.
God did.
God did.
Perhaps.
That's a fact. God did. So Black, also known as Black Tatted, he's killing it in New Orleans, from New Orleans, and then it just spread all over the map.
Yeah.
And started a company called Black Smoke. So it's a Black-owned Shisha company, which is... That's the real name for hookah, right?
Mm-hmm.
Shisha?
Yeah.
So, but then he has the portable joints as well. It's interesting. I believe there's no tobacco.
No nicotine.
No tobacco, no nicotine. Because that's what they always say. It's like smoking hookah is like smoking 100
cigarettes.
Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah, it's bad for your lungs. Mm-hmm. So, but he's killing it. So he just had, I think, $2 million Black Friday?
Yeah, 2.7, man.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Don't discount this 0.7.
So he got a lot of rap artists that, you know, have endorsed the brand, from Lil Wayne to Cardi B to Glorilla, Yo Gotti. The list goes on. So this is going to be a dope conversation. We're going to talk about, you know, how he got into the industry, how he was able to scale a brand, marketing, social media, and all that stuff. But first and foremost, thank you for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, man. It's an honor.
Yeah, for sure.
504.
Yes, yeah.
The governor's here, baby. Too. Shout out to the governor. Larry Morrow was in the building.
Larry is in the building. When's your episode coming?
Shout out to the treehouse. Live from the treehouse.
Shout out to the treehouse baddies.
All right, so let's get into this. So how do you get into producing hookah sticks? Like, how does that even happen? Because I've never really even thought about that being a business.
Yeah, just like yourself, like me, I love hookah. You know, that's just something I love to do. But I never smoke marijuana. I never smoke cigarettes and nothing like that. But just the realization of understanding that me smoking hookah, it's just like smoking a pack of cigarettes. So I just wanted to figure out a way to how to eliminate the effects of something like nicotine and tobacco if I'm choosing not to smoke that, but still be able to enjoy hookah the way that I do, because it's something I love. I didn't want to give up. So I pretty much needed a healthy alternative. And that's like where it all started from. So I knew in order to smoke hookah, like when you go on a diet, right? The first thing we'll say is like fruits or vegetables. That's what we consider healthy. I know vegetables, it wasn't even an option for hookah because nobody wants to smoke no goddamn lettuce, you know? So I knew fruit was an option because first of all, fruit is already incorporated in hookah. You go to a hookah spot and you could get shisha inside of a pineapple head, a grapefruit, you know, stuff like that. So that's what
mint flavor.
Exactly. And that's what the initiative of it all started from. So I knew it had to be a way to create. So it's 100% fruit produced hookah.
So you got a vision, right? You love hookah, but most people can't turn the things that they love into actual business. So at what point, right, did you have an entrepreneurial background, or like, how did you figure out, let me create this business plan to turn this passion of something I love to do into something that could be profitable?
Yeah, so that's what's crazy. I always use my personality and my influence on social media, and I used to just be myself, show my personality, be funny sometimes and stuff like that. And it deemed me some kind of way getting into the world of becoming the promo king, where everybody, businesses from the smallest businesses to the biggest businesses, I'm talking about as far as WeTV, wanted me to use my personality and sell product. I used to think it was so normal, so natural to me, but everybody else like, oh my God, that worked, do that, could you do that for my business? So I started promoting other people's businesses, and they started making more money than they ever made. Everybody was coming with testimonials like, you made me more money this weekend than I made since I've been in business for 2 years, 3 years. And I was like, all right, cool. Then I realized, well, God damn, like, I could do this for myself, you know what I'm saying? So that's when I really understood and like I had something. I literally could do this for myself and I could become a CEO, you know?
So how long ago did you start?
It's almost 2 years ago.
2 years.
Yes, and it became a multi-million-dollar business the first 3 months.
So before this, what were you doing?
I was literally on Instagram doing making a lot of money, though. I'm going to speak on promo.
You was an influencer.
I was an influencer, but
you was an artist at one point, right?
That's what's crazy. I played around with a song, you know. New Orleans is known for our culture. We dip, you know what I'm saying? We vibe. So it's a dip. So they called me, they deemed me the dip king. I seem like they always be deeming me something. Promo king, the dip king, you know what I'm saying?
That's a move?
King of Earn Your Leisure. I'm like, that shit,
I know
crazy.
It is. That's all. I know it is.
No.
I know that.
Yeah, so before the Instagram stuff, I used to work offshore. Like, that was my gig. That's kind of how Instagram kicked off for me, because I was offshore in that boat. So bored.
Offshore?
Yeah, offshore.
What's that?
Like, you in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico on ships, on tugboats.
I was doing that.
Yeah, that's what I was doing.
Wow.
That's how I got into Instagram, because I was so bored. I was the only black guy on the boat, with, you know, Mr. Dave and people 63 years old and stuff like that. I'm a young guy. So I'm like, y'all over there, I need y'all to connect with me and talk to me and make me feel like I'm at home. You know what I'm saying? I couldn't go to Treehouse in the middle of Gulf of Mexico.
You went to Treehouse in the ocean.
So yeah, like when I really think back, like all those things was, it was a purpose. All those things, like everything happens for a reason. I truly believe that now, because you look back, all these different elements of life, it really what came full circle and got me doing what I'm doing today. I feel like if I would never work offshore, I would never probably connect with the internet as much, never had so much free time, never put myself out there, never had nothing else to do but to focus on that, you know?
How far out are y'all? Because every time I see it, I'm like, yo, how do they even get service out there? Like,
no. Very, very, very far out. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to all the dudes who's like losing their relationships and their wives and stuff.
What are y'all doing out there? Like fishing?
So all the ships gotta like dock and like even when you see like Cole and all that kind of stuff like that, that's where it's coming from. That's where it's importing from. So when the ships are so heavy and carrying all these barges and stuff like that, they can't dock themselves. So that goes us and the other ships and the tugboats, which are a little smaller, and you pushing the ships towards the dock. It's called like landing, turn for sea and things like that. Even when a ship is coming out of a dock, they can't turn themselves. So you got to connect wire and line to them and pull a boat back and literally help them turn. So that's the kind of stuff you do out in the Gulf. So boring.
Interesting. So all right. So you get the idea to make hookah with fruits.
Yes.
That's like the base.
It's made 100% fruit.
All right. So it's made out of fruit. You get the idea for that.
Mm-hmm.
But what's the first step to actually get the product produced?
The first step is getting a product produced is literally, damn, you want me to tell you my recipe? This is like Good Burger.
No, I mean, as far as what's those steps of actually like manufacturing, like, okay, I'm going to get a hookah made in China and get it sent over. Like, you know what I mean?
So that's the thing. That was the tricky part. That's what became the most complicated part for me, because I couldn't just go and do something that the average person could do, because I'm literally doing something that has never been done. Like, it's something that I created. So it didn't have like the proper steps or the right supplier. I literally had to put this together. Like, I literally had to find a supplier. I had to go through so many of them. Like, people were saying, like, suppliers were saying they couldn't do this because the vision that I had and the things I was saying to do is like, it sounds good, but you cannot put fruit juice and inside of a hookah pen and stuff like that. So that was the most complicated part of literally finding somebody that could believe in my vision. And we literally figured it out together, because I didn't have all the answers, but I just had a vision, but now it have come to life clearly.
So you're building a team around it, because I'm figuring like, yeah, you're building with fruit, but it takes some like expertise and to figure out how to make the right concoction to actually figure out, yo, we can smoke this. If not, this could go bad.
Absolutely. So,
how'd you find the team, or like, did you pitch the idea to people to say like, this is a vision I have? Like, how'd that work?
That's literally what worked with the suppliers. I just had to be, that's why I went through so many. The people that really realized, okay, we could do this if we use this and we keep the fruit from going bad, and this have to be done and this could keep it healthy and stuff like that. So the suppliers actually helped me, you know, take my vision and bring it to life. So we kind of like worked together and created a formula that actually gave you black smoke.
How cost intensive is it? Because if you're using fruit, right?
It's very costly. And then by it being made a certain way, I couldn't even use like one supplier for one thing. Like, it was such a big deal to be able to get the fruit to what it needed to be. And it's a whole nother idea of having a hookah pen that could hold the kind of fruit and the stuff that's going to go in there. So I have to have different suppliers. Like, one supplier like make the fruit and got to get with the other supplier to put it in the hookah base. Like, it's a lot. So it's not something where I could just go and put my logo on something, mm-hmm, and it's already made and ship it to me. It's like a whole system. So it cost me quite a bit. But
hundreds of thousands
to get started. Yeah. When I first got started, it cost me $100,000. But now, yes, hundreds of thousands. Now a couple mil, you know what I'm saying? Okay. Because I got to keep up with the high demand and the supply.
So the startup was like $100,000.
Yeah, yeah.
So is it just the portable, or is it the regular hookah too?
At the regular hookah too. Even my shishas are literally, you opening it, it's the actual fruit. Like, it's all fruit. Everything is 100% fruit based.
Do you have to get like FDA approval for that, or?
And yes, and that's what the things that takes a time, takes some time. My legal team is already like in the works with all that stuff, the FDA approval. That's just something that doesn't happen overnight. We have no doubt in the world that it's going to be FDA approved.
So there's a lot of steps that go into it. It's obviously the FDA approval, but trademarking, like, talk about the lessons you had to learn, like, to get this thing actually a product that people could use.
So that's the thing. That's a lot of stuff that I'm like still learning. Like, I try to give myself more knowledgeable about it every single day, because like, this is a monstrous company. This is bigger than me. I didn't even imagine, you know, if you could have told me I could just come up with this product and have this company and probably make 10, 20 grand a month, I'm like, okay, great. At least I got something, you know, some leverage. But now it has become something that I didn't prepare myself for, because you couldn't tell me in my wildest dreams it would be this. So I'm literally learning every day and getting more knowledge as I go.
So, all right. So once you got it made and all that, now how did you start selling it? Did you sell it to the clubs first, or was you selling it hand to hand to people? Like, what was it?
Online. So I got this thing about me, right? Like, I'm a influencer, a public figure, but I also like to be very private. So if I'm dropping something, if I'm doing something, I literally never talk about it. And my audience notice about me. That's why they kind of stay tuned, because you could literally be on Instagram today and I ain't posting 2 months, but today it could be like, surprise, I do that. Like, I'm known for that. So I literally was working on it, creating it. I used to be on Instagram Live. I actually started during the pandemic, Instagram with these talent shows. Like, I used my platform. I was on Instagram Live, like, almost so many celebrities used to come to my talent shows every weekend. Like, it used to have thousands of people in there, people singing. They thought I was Diddy or something. Like, I ain't never gave nobody a big break, but I just made them feel like, come on this talent show. You just don't know who's going to see you.
Not the Tory Lanez type.
You know what I'm saying? So that's really how it was. And wait, what was we talking about? I just had a brain fart.
When you started selling it, who did you start selling it?
Oh, yes. That's what it is. So once everything was done, everything was pretty much, you know, formulated. I literally had it already in the house and everything. What nobody even knew I was coming out with it. So I literally dropped it on my Instagram. I was like, surprised. Now they have seen me smoking hookah all the time. Like, I was known from having my wine, having my hookah. The whole time they just didn't know it was mine. So many times they was asking me like, what you smoking? What flavor you smoking? I'm telling them they trying to go get another brand that's that same flavor, because I'm not telling them exactly what the brand is. So I guess they thinking in the sense that he ain't gonna tell me the brand, because they ain't paying him to tell me the brand, but it was always mine. So them trying to keep up and doing what I'm doing and me having my influence. And when I literally say, this is what I've been smoking, this is mine, and now it's available now. First day I dropped it, it sold out. And it's been like nonstop ever since.
Well, how much inventory did you have that first day? Like, I mean, people always try to figure out business. How much should I have in the event that I sell out? So what did you say, like, was the number?
Yes. So this was crazy. I had spent like $100,000 on inventory, like getting everything right. And when I say $100,000, that was for the design, the inventory, the shipping and everything like that. And I literally got this book. I'm going to talk about this. I got this book that I wrote on.
The inspiration from others drives us forward. Their resilience pushes us to excel, and their path navigates the way towards freedom. Ford is proud to celebrate Black history, not just this month, but year round. They're committed to being the fuel for change, supporting Ford Fund programs centered around economic, educational, and empowerment opportunities for our communities to continue creating the future. Learn more at FordFund.org. Built Ford proud.
Right before I opened my company, and I was like, Lord, if I could like make $100,000 my first year, I know that's so far-fetched, but that is my goal. I want to make $100,000 my first year, and I won't have all this inventory that I just invested in going within my first year of business. So I had enough inventory that I could make at least $170,000, $180,000. So when I dropped that, I made that $170,000, $180,000 the first day, and no inventory.
First day.
All the inventory was sold out.
So you had backwaters.
Yeah. So no. So I'm saying my year plan of trying to sell this product that I had within 1 year and make this amount of money within that first year, all that product was gone that first day. And I made that yearly goal. I made that the same day I dropped.
Now it's time for the re-up.
Yeah. So now it was horrible for me. I'm stressing. I'm sweating. I'm like, what the dude? So now literally once I dropped my day that I dropped and I sold out, I literally have more product again for 2 months. I think it worked out in my favor, because that built this demand. Everybody was trying, they was talking about it, and everybody that was hearing about it wanted it and they couldn't get it. So now they was ready for the next drop. Oh, he sold out so fast, it's gonna sell out again. So every time I drop, everybody anticipating and they setting alarms. People, it's crazy. People really be calling off work because it's like they can't have their phone or they don't wanna miss it. So when I drop, it goes crazy.
So this is another valuable lesson in business, right? Sometimes we try to come out with a product, but we have multiple products at a time. Like when we started, we had 7 different shirt designs until we realized, like, wait, people are buying assets over liabilities.
Yes.
We got to stick with that. Mm-hmm. How many flavors of the shisha did you start with?
I go big or go home. I started with 15 flavors at once. That's why my investments were so high. Yeah. Like, that's why I was like, Lord, please let this work for me. You know what I'm saying? I started with extra 15 flavors at once. And also, what I could say, for somebody else who's probably trying to get some advice and want to start business, don't know how many products to start with, all that kind of stuff, I actually feel like versus trying to push the narrative of inventory or push the narrative or have different options as people, what you first want to do, the first thing first, is build a demand for your product, not build the inventory for it. Because you can get 10 of these designs of jeans and 5 of these shirts and 12 of these hookahs, but if you don't have a demand for what you're selling and why people need it and why they have to come and get it from you versus just going and get the next best thing for the next best person, you just have another product and another, you know, another item that nobody feel a need to want to get. So you build a demand for your business and you build the inventory off of that, in my opinion.
Yeah, so you sell out the first batch, mm-hmm. and now people got to re-up. Are these one-time uses or can I get like a refill?
They disposables.
Disposables.
Yes.
Oh, so we just, and we out.
Yeah, you got to build that demand. I need you to keep coming back, baby.
So, but it worked out, but that can actually be very harmful for a business if you don't have enough inventory.
Absolutely, and I still struggle with that to this day. So Every time I get a amount of inventory, right, I will sell out it. And from that first time, I started saying, well, I'm going to get double of what I had. But then when I waited those 2 months and I had got double, I said, well, this is going to last me longer because I got double this. And that sold out in hours. So now I'm dealing with the fact that I'm tripling and it's sold out. Like, so it's like no matter what, I just can't keep up with the demand. So now this is a world exclusive. I never even had enough room to have the demand that which I needed. I'm a new business, a year old. I had a little small little warehouse. And now it's so crazy that I feel like I'm operating like Amazon. I just closed on fucking Mega Million, like, headquarters. So now I'm feeling good about that. Because I appreciate that. I'm feeling good about that because my problem with making money and running my business is always it stops and starts because I'm literally, the problem is I'm running out of inventory. So now I feel like without running out of inventory, the sky's the limit. I could just keep rolling. I could keep going. All the money that I made, I feel like I could have made double and triple that because the whole time of me making that much money, I've been sold out 1, 2, and 3 months at a time.
Yeah, it's a process. It's a process. Yeah. But let's go back to that day.
Yeah.
Let's go back to that day. So you sell out, you're making the money, in your mind, is it like, all right, let me reinvest it? Or is it like, let me get some of the things I've always wanted?
Absolutely, reinvest it. Still to this day, I reinvest pretty much everything. Like, I really feel like—
Except for the jewelry.
You know.
I'm just saying, I see a lot of rings and things.
You know what I'm saying?
But that, like, there's a lot going on over here.
It took a while. This is, it's been almost 2 years and I just got this jewelry like 2 months ago. 2 months ago, no cap. Look like good. I'm just getting it. You know what I'm saying?
Look good.
Like, let me keep reinvesting before I can do that. But real talk, like, it takes a lot. And I really feel like no matter what, how much you reinvest and you're not kept with, I feel like as long as you have inventory, you are not broke. Inventory is money. You know what I'm saying? You don't got to see that liquid and have that money and that cash flow in your hand, but you got money right there. You could literally make a post, get an influencer, do something any day and take that inventory and turn it into dollars yet again. So I feel like as long as you got I could have $20 in my bank account, but I got $1 million worth of product in the inventory, you know, worth the inventory in that warehouse, I'm rich. I got $1 million and it's right there. I just got to figure out a way to, you know, strategically turn it into dollars again.
So let me ask you this. As far as the marketing, how do you market? You just go on social media, like we got hookah. Like, is it skits that's built out? Do you get other influencers and celebrities? Like, how do you market it? You have a following, but like, how do you push it on social media?
So, The best thing that could happen to me, hookah is such a popular thing already. People already love to hookah. And so I kind of don't have to influence them to do something that they already love to do. Only thing I got to do is like influence them on why you should do it with mine instead of theirs. And the things that I use is so easily used because it's actually the truth. A healthy alternative literally made from fruit and you can do it without the nicotine and the tobacco. Like, You like to smoke hookah a lot, so I know you could even agree that when you smoke that hookah in a club, everything, your throat could be hurting. You could get a head rush, you could get a headache. That'd be that nicotine, that tobacco. So
he only smokes hookah when R&B's playing. He don't smoke it a lot.
Especially that Confessions album, right? But yeah, real talk. So yeah, it's kind of like the consumers pretty much market the product for you.
Yeah.
And then they be excited to get it. You kind of get like free promo all day, just nonstop, you know? And the thing about it, as far as the celebrities and stuff like that, it's really crazy that these people be, you be thinking that these are people that you really can't touch or people that you can't reach. But you find out when you have a business and a popping product that they really sitting there on their phone scrolling and looking at the next best thing, just like us. They sliding your DM. Literally say, hey, what's up, King? I got to get some of that.
Peace,
so I'm like, I'm saying to myself, they're like, but I'm like, all right, no thing, you know, trying to play cool, calling my team like, strip that out right now, overnight, you know, little baby. I'm just saying, but yeah, that's just really how I go. And it started with love and organic, like, relationships. And then they post it. I don't care if a celebrity posts me on their Insta story. I just send a free product. They still use their influence. I'm going to take that Insta story and I'm going to screen record it and I'm going to post it on my page. Now they gave me a post and that post is going to go all over social media. And so influence is what's the key, you know, to turn it into dollars right now.
Yeah, that's the commercial right there. Mm-hmm. So yeah, obviously I'm figuring your marketing as the healthy hookah,
mm-hmm.
right? This is the healthy alternative if you're going to do hookah.
Yeah.
Obviously, you've created your own formula. How do you protect it from somebody who's saying like, oh, I can do the same thing? Is it something that you try to patent or how does that work?
It is patent. Nobody can, you know? Playing. Yeah, I'm telling you, I got the business right before I got playing. The business right. You yeah, know yeah, what I'm yeah. saying?
504 ain't
playing. Out the trenches, baby. It took a lot to get here. Y'all ain't about to come take it from me.
There you go.
So, like, what's the makeup of sales? Is it mostly through individuals or is it a lot moving through nightlife clubs and stuff?
Oh. It's only available online. Like it's not in
the club.
I ain't even get into that world yet. Oh, no boy. Wholesale, no distributors.
Are you
like
going
that.
To?
Eventually, like, you know, it's my baby right now. Like, I know that's what I was just saying, like what you were just saying with the investors and all that stuff. You kind of teach me knowledge because I didn't know about any of this. And you know, in the black community, we be so guarded and everything, and we feel like if we share a percentage of something that we doing everything, and we got to be macho man, we got to do it by ourselves, or it's more rewarding to us to say I did this by myself. Mm-hmm. So you'll really feel like we'll feel better having 100% of $2 million than having 50% of $5 billion. You know what I'm saying? Like, so that's the world that I'm really starting to learn now, and that's the game that I'm really trying to get more into and have a better understanding of. And I really feel like if I can take it this far by myself, just imagine what I could do with a machine behind me, you know?
Yeah, I mean, based on your analytics, so are the sales coming domestically, meaning like are you seeing it happen predominantly in the States? If so, like what parts of the country? Like obviously we're in Atlanta a lot and that's like it's part of the fabric, but
yeah,
from an international standpoint, we're in the Middle East and this is part of their culture.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you have visions to expand it from an online space to getting out to those parts?
That's what's crazy. Those are the people like Barbados and Dominican Republic and all those kind of places. They buy bulk.
Yeah, I'm like, DR's heavy on
that. Yeah, I'm like, who is this person? Who is these people? Like, we ship so much like overseas that it's insane. And like, I just never imagine, you know, within 1 year that I go from the States into overseas and things and people like that. But I feel like when I get into wholesale and distributing, that's when really like the world is really go have black smoke, you know?
So what is the most popular flavor?
You know what's crazy? The most popular flavor is all of them. The bundle sells more than anything. You know what I'm saying? The all most popular flavors, all of them. So you get the bundle, you go get all 10 of the flavors of the hookah pen and the bundle of the shisha, which comes with 15 flavors. Whenever somebody get one, they be mad because now they love it. You know, you always want to try one and try it first. Now they love it and now they want more, but now it's been sold out for so long and you got to wait. And you know, waited so long trying to survive with that one pen. And then when it came back in stock, you couldn't get it again and it sold out again. So now they just buy bundles all day. Like that's the most favorite thing.
Yes.
So how does this work? Mm-hmm. It's already inside of it? You have the light something?
Yeah. No, actually it's just, look, open it. How about you try it for yourself?
About to test it right now.
Yeah.
Our first ever.
All right. Yeah. All right. Close. Let's do it.
What you like, mint?
We're going to go with green apple. Let's go with green apple. Governor, he already got his. The governor has his. How we? Oh, there we go. It's up here.
Tear from the side.
Tear from the side. Let's get this thing.
Probably gonna smell it right now.
Smells great. What are we doing?
All you gotta do is take the plastic. You know, yeah. Take that rubber out. Yep. And it's breath activated. You just puff. Blow it out your mouth.
Don't worry, it's just fruit.
Probably doesn't smoke much. This tastes good, man.
It's a vibe.
This is watermelon mint.
It's good stuff. It's good stuff.
Tastes just like green apple, doesn't it?
It does. It absolutely does.
Oh, and it lights up.
Yep.
And you just
don't hit hookah like weed, bro.
you hit it
and blow it out. You trying
don't,
to
don't put that in your lungs, man.
You trying to blow guns and shit.
I am blowing it out.
Oh boy.
So then, all right.
Let's continue the conversation.
So this is good actually.
That tastes really good.
All right. So all right. So now let's say I'm done for the time. Mm-hmm. I put this back in like this.
You don't have to. It's leak proof.
It's leak proof.
Yeah, it's leak proof. Turn it upside down. I promise you, I'm a man of my word.
So you just all right. And then good. Okay, and then you just smoking until there's no more.
Smoking until there's no more. You good?
This will probably last a day.
I knew the women was gonna want it all in their purses and stuff like that. So I didn't want to be like, oh, that's leaking all on my.
The fact that it lights up, I mean, this is gonna go crazy.
It's in a
club.
Vibe.
It's gonna go crazy in club. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, interesting. And then Glorilla had it in her video.
Yeah. In Tomorrow 2 video with Glorilla featuring Cardi. Yeah.
You knew that was going to happen? Or it was?
Yeah, I definitely knew it was going to happen because Glorilla had literally taste the pens already. Everybody was tagging me and sending me videos of Glorilla like literally having a pen in her hand while she was on stage. So like, I'm friends with someone who worked with Glorilla. Shout out to Whitney. And I was like, look, if Glorilla like the pens, let's get it. So send Glorilla pens. She made the video, whatever the case may be. So Whitney was like, Glorilla was like, huh, her friends love these pens so much, they could smoke them in the video. I'm like, oh, word. Send them 8 more bundles.
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 Put them out there like bundles.
So how much is it?
These are
$39.99.
$39.99.
How much is the bundle?
The bundle is $299, and what you saving like over $100 by getting a bundle.
How many come in a bundle?
10 comes in a bundle.
Okay. Now we saw Juul, this e-cigarette company. Mm-hmm. And we saw that the lawsuit, and they're saying it's marketing to teens, and you know it's really dangerous, but you actually said that lawsuit helped you.
Yeah, I didn't know about that part. I just knew about the part of Juul being banned, and they was talking about the higher levels of nicotine and tobacco. So I didn't even do like interviews or nothing on that. But I go on Google and I see so many write-ups saying that Juul has been banned for nicotine, tobacco, open up the doors for black smoke with no nicotine or tobacco. I'm like, well, thank you. You know what I'm saying? Like, so many people came over, was literally writing my comments like, so glad I found this healthy alternative. I seen this, Juul got banned and you guys are the next best thing. It was just like free promo, you know?
Best press.
Best press.
So this is just 100% healthy?
100% fruit,
no
man.
No negative effect.
Listen, it's made up of miracle berries, which is actually a very popular thing in West Africa. Like, they take miracle berries to help keep their blood flow well, bodily functions, everything like that, which is what's definitely what this is made up of.
Natural fruits and berries.
Natural fruits and berries.
It's like coming to America.
Yep.
So, what's your plans on scaling? Like, how do you take this to the next level?
And that's literally what I'm in my bubble right now trying to figure out, because I'm to a level that I wouldn't even fathom, right? So my thing is, literally, I'm feeling like I really need to get a machine behind me. Like, I have seen pretty much what I can do. I have reached the culture. I have did something that hasn't been done yet. Like, you know, I have targeted our people, but literally, I just really want to. The sky's the limit on some, you know, and I'm really trying to figure that out. I really feel like I just need to be in the right rooms and soak up knowledge from the right people, y'all included, and really kind of find my way.
Yeah, I like that, man. So you're doing it online. Mm-hmm. I know we kind of had a little conversation about brick and mortar, looking into the future. What's your thoughts on it or hesitations on it? Because it's like we're pretty successful doing this mm-hmm. business online. We always talked about if your business isn't online, you don't really have a business.
Yeah.
So you're starting there. Do you think maybe brick and mortar, right? Because it's like one of those things. Yeah. Like, if I'm doing successful already, why do I need it?
I be feeling like, but again, I'm in a new world, so I'm.
Money. It comes with a lot of questions. How do I save? Where should I invest? Can I build wealth to pass on? It's hard to know where to get answers. That's why the people at Fidelity do what they do, to make it easier for you to get information to make better money decisions. It's what they've built their business on. They've got articles and videos, tips and apps, and insights and perspectives that make planning, saving, and investing a little less stressful. And when you want to talk it through, there's a real person on the other end with real answers. Helping people is what they do, and they can help you too. Help you buy a home, save for your kids' education, start a business, support your community, and feel more confident about the future. Want to learn more? Visit Fidelity online at fidelity.com/blackwealth.
Trying to even break my chain of thought. I'm trying not to think the same way. I'm trying to think outside the box. You know, it's kind of like I feel like if it's not broke, you know, why fix it? I feel like if I'm online touching so many people, it's like when you online, you can reach Dominican, you can reach New York, LA, Atlanta, whatever. But if I have a store base, it's just literally for the population of which is around me. So I'm just feeling like how beneficial could that be for me? Also, but I guess having it in sight, like literally rolling down the street and always being able to see black smoke is still kind of beneficial. And then also I'd be trying not to think from such a large scale, right? Just thinking that since I'm making X amount of dollars online, the fact that I could probably make 50K from a storefront isn't beneficial to me, but that 50K may add up. I just got to realize it's different levels. You know what I'm saying? It's different ways to, you know, break the ice, and it could be successful over here. Even if it's not the same level of success, that still could be considered success, and all that add to the pie, you know?
It's just like one of the things we spoke about with like the marathon store, rest in peace in it, but like it became an attraction, right? So you put it in a place where you're from, now people come, you can have limited releases, limited items, exclusive items just for the area, or kind of like what Pinky's done, where it's like, there's a chance I might meet you if I come to the store.
Right.
Right. Because your personality becomes a thing. Whereas, yeah, she has a product, which is the food, but people just come sometimes just to meet her. And then obviously there's incentives when you come and get there. And also the other side of it is that there's a real estate play too. Mm-hmm. Right. So when you bring that type of value, you're bringing continuous customers to an area, the appreciation on the area goes up.
Right.
So there's a couple of things where I see like it could be beneficial, especially like if it's where you're from.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. Got you. Yeah. So y'all advice about open up a storefront, definitely got to start in New Orleans.
Well, I don't think a brick and mortar might not be the best idea, but I do think getting it into clubs is a good idea.
Yeah.
Cause I feel like that's something like you could have like the premier, like in every club, like, you know what I mean? Like have like on the menu, like, you know, when you go to clubs and you order bottles and they like every club has rosé, every club has Don Julio, or every club has, you know, tequila, whatever. So now it's like they have different hookah options and then they'll have your option as one of the hookah options.
And then I'll be sitting back in the cut and realizing in the clubs, it's such an inconvenience with those hookahs because everybody's crowded, everybody bucked up. The girl can't even get through because somebody about to get burnt somebody and stuff like burnt. That. Yeah. And this would definitely
it makes it a lot easier. Yes. No, that's a fact. Because like you said, even in restaurants, like, you know what I mean? You got to, the thing is like, you got to pass it.
Yes.
And you got like, duck and it's
they
like,
knocking coals down, burning the floors, the sofa.
Sharing it with somebody and getting the mouthpiece and this process.
Much more convenient.
Yeah, this is.
That's where I see a lot of scalability in that. Because like you said, you got the clubs, you got the lounges, and you have the restaurants.
Yeah.
They all serve hookah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you do both, right? Because even like Burner with cookies, like that becomes a brand that just travels. We know cookies.
Right.
Right. Even if we don't know Burner, we know what cookies is. And so like when they see the store, it's like, oh, we know what's inside.
Right.
We know the level of product. But if you become that brand, especially for this space, I mean, the possibilities are endless. Really.
The only thing with cookies, I don't think you're allowed to mail marijuana.
You in California.
You can, but I'm saying like you can't mail it.
Oh, ship it. No, you can't ship it.
So that's why it's like those stores are cash cows.
Yeah.
Because it's like you, if you want to buy the weed, you gotta
go to the store. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Correct.
You got a business, but you can actually ship it across state lines. So, and like you said, the hookah thing is interesting because you could just smoke hookah just on a random, like, I just see people with pens. Like, it's those vape pens and all that. You could just be, like, on a golf course.
We don't know what it is. We assuming this hookah.
Well,
but this is...
That's what I'm saying. But I'm just saying those portable
everywhere.
Smoking things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
People are smoking that.
Everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's in all of them. They're very popular.
Right.
So now that is actually something that's beneficial.
Man, I tried to puff one of those things. I don't know how people do it. Like what the
vape?
Yeah.
Wait, what's the marijuana ones?
Like those big jewel things and all that stuff. Like, man, I'm talking about literally.
The weed ones are dangerous too. I know some people who tried them.
I never tried
those. Yeah, so it's a roller coaster ride you don't want to go on.
So are there other people that's making fruit based hookah?
No.
You're the only person that makes fruit based
hookah. That's hookah. A legend. Yes. Thank you, King.
So you don't have any competition?
No.
Do you foresee competition coming?
I'm the blueprint of something, right? So it's only right that once people see something and you do it, like, it's going to be others coming behind you to try to duplicate it. Like, I'm aware of that, and that doesn't even affect me in any kind of way. Like, I just know what I make and what I create. That's just literally if you love your grandma or your mama gumbo, and they just probably tell you, you'd be like, damn, mom, how you get the flavor like this? You probably say, I put a little couple sausages in there, put a little, you know, shrimp filet, baby. You can sit there and do it the same way, but it's going to probably be good for you, but it ain't going to be your mama gumbo.
It ain't going to be the same.
And that's what black smoke is.
I've had gumbo
truthfully before. That. You didn't?
Neither. I haven't either.
I haven't had gumbo yet.
Oh, man, you got to come to Morrow's and get some gumbo.
I do.
Got to come to Morrow's.
Can we make it without pork, though?
Yeah, Monday, well, my new spot, we got the seafood gumbo.
Seafood gumbo.
Could you believe Monday's not open on Tuesday?
Monday's not open on Tuesday.
Monday,
they happy hour, Tuesday we close. I just not get it. Like, I mean, I only have it yesterday, right?
Reset,
all right, got it.
The reset. The
so
reset.
Let's talk about Dwayne Carter. Is he the most famous person to ever come from New Orleans?
Probably. Absolutely.
Probably.
Yeah, 1,000. That's my guy.
So he's smoked your hookah.
Yeah, yeah.
How'd that happen?
You know what's crazy? I think it's crazy because you always think about, you know, we always say when you hear that lighter flick and that Wayne song. It's about, so now I'm like, damn, like when you hear that, that's black smoke. But that relationship actually came from Larry, my guy right here, man. Oh, yeah. Larry is good friends with Mac Man, which is, you know, Lil Wayne right hand man. And Larry always, that's one thing he go do. He go talk to you. He go be like, look, you probably know some good shit. You probably know some people, but you got to meet my dog. You got to meet blah, blah, blah. He sell hookah pens and this, that, and that, and other. So, you know, we all got to talking and got on phone calls, and Wayne had a birthday coming up. Mac Man was saying how he was going to make sure Wayne get the product. Wayne got the product, tried the product, loved the product, was a part of his birthday bash. He actually had black smoke on his menu as the hookah appetizer.
How'd that feel like, man? You from New Orleans. Obviously, we shared in the... You know, we love Wayne, obviously. Like, what does that feel like when you see the guy that
talk,
you look
I don't talk the same. I only talk in goat, not bad. Like, you understand? Like, you know what I'm saying? It gets no bigger than that, bro.
That's where you from, Louisiana. So when you, you're building, right?
Yes.
I'm assuming at some point it's not just you. You got to build a team, right? Now, how did that work? Are we grabbing family or we got our friends? How you building a team out to as you're scaling?
Yeah, so it's crazy. My friend right here, which is Dejanay, listen, it's crazy. A little backstory. We was friends like when we was like in our late teens and stuff like that, right? And we always had this goal and this motive that we need to be rich one day. We don't know how, but we gonna be rich. So we used to be sitting back in our living room writing on envelopes, trying to figure out how to build a MySpace app and a Facebook app. We was like, we gotta put time out of business. We can do our own app, right? So coming full circle, she was running all the insurance companies all over the world. I started being offshore, then I started my hookah and stuff like that. And then as things was growing and I was realizing, Deja came to my house one day, she was like, I'm proud of you, but what the hell is you doing? Like, I was doing my own marketing, my own customer service, my own social media. Like, I was running everything, shipping all this. She was like, let me help you, my baby. So Deja came over here and listened. It started with one conversation in my office, in my house, and it became the best thing that could have ever happened to me. Like, so Deja's like my right-hand man. She helped me run everything. Like, Deja have more access to my life than me. You ask me something about me, I'm like, I don't know ex-Deja. You know? So my team is very, very small right now, but it definitely started with my friends.
Scaling looks likely.
Yes. Yes.
So talk about retaining customers, because that's the most important part of a business is once you get a customer, you want to make them a customer for life. So what's your plans to make sure that customers return and keep buying product?
You know, I feel like it's all about the connection. with a customer, don't make a customer feel like they're just a customer, like another person that's just spending money and buying something from you. That's one of, I think that was one of my most successful ways of going about things, that I connect with everybody. Like literally every customer that buy from me, they literally feel a connection with me. I talk to them. I go on live. I answer questions. I literally talk to everybody. I repost everybody. It could be Beyonce and her. Yeah, I'll repost, and I also post little Jenny that's sitting in her Ford Focus. You know what I'm saying? Like, I literally make everybody feel appreciated because they truly are. And I always feel like the people that consider themselves the little people, those are actually the biggest spenders. Mm-hmm. Those are the people that are sitting down and working their 9-to-5 and getting their check and buying themselves something that they feel good about, which is a hookah pen and stuff like that. So those are the consumers that makes the most sense to me. So I just think it's all about making every customer feel valued, appreciated, and loved.
So are we looking at more products or more flavors? How are we going to keep the business going, right? So you got 15 now. How many flavors you got now?
I got 10 hookah pen flavors, yeah. And 15 hookah shisha flavors.
So what's the plan? More products or different flavors?
You know, you got to follow my Instagram. I told you, I don't say nothing. I just drop. But I'm just tell you this, King. I'm never not working. You understand me?
So
hit the Lil Wayne lighter switch right.
So the warehouse, that's going to be where all of the product is held and where all the product is getting shipped out of, and mm-hmm. all that stuff.
Yes. 40,000 square feet. Like, it's mega. 30 offices. Like, I'm talking about, listen, it's crazy. Y'all should come do an episode of Earn Your Leisure.
Yeah, we got to stop by. For sure. For sure. So are you thinking about diversifying? Like, all right, so you're getting money with the hookah. Are you interested in other aspects of you looking to buy real estate? You looking to invest in other businesses, restaurants? Are you looking to do that, or you just, yes, focus on what you're doing right now?
Absolutely. No, I'm looking to do that because I'm a fan of, you got to get it while it's hot. Like, you know, like everything doesn't last always. Some things got its phases. Some things got its time. So I just feel like while you're in the game, you just literally got to spread your wings and be a ball eagle. You can't literally just focus on one thing, have all your eggs in one basket. And I feel like you don't have this kind of success and literally stick to one thing. Like, you literally, you know, you got people as far as, like, for instance, you got Jay-Z, which was a rapper, and now he own a basketball game, and now he own his own liquor. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I literally look for people like that as blueprints and understanding. Like, I don't ever want nobody to put me in a box, so it starts with me. I don't want to be in no box. I may have started with Black Smoke, but that's not going to be the last thing you hear of me.
Yeah,
you know?
So you started out with that crazy first day, but this Black Friday was pretty monumental as well. We're going to get to the amount, but let's talk about the lead up to it.
Mm-hmm.
You said the market is Instagram. Are you taking in inventory and getting pre-orders or wait lists? How do people, you know, build up to that, you know, that super successful Black Friday? And we'll talk about the numbers later, but yeah. What was the build up into Black Friday?
Yeah, I never do pre-orders. I really feel like, in my advice to any business, don't do pre-orders, because you can may have it on a website, you can post it on Instagram, you can verbally say this is the pre-order, blah blah blah. But all people know once they pre-order is, I spent my money and I don't have my product yet. No matter what, if you say it's coming in 3 weeks, on a 7th day, they could be like, you scammed me. I don't got it yet. So I just really don't feel like it's worth the headache. So the thing about it is, I even, like the last time when I made headlines, when I made $1.4 million in 9 hours, $1.4 million in 9 hours. That was just on a regular day on a restock. I was out of inventory for 2 months and I dropped it, and it did that. So I literally never had a sale before. So me being able to make $1 million with no sale just on a regular day was literally like a Tuesday, my dog. Like, it was a Tuesday. You know, so I was anticipating that Black Friday was going to be successful, but I didn't know the kind of success that it would have brought. Like, she was actually telling me, Deja was actually telling me, like, you know, Black Friday going to be crazy. I'm like, but nah. She was like, are you insane? Are you sick? Listen, my G. Oh, my God. It was insane. I didn't expect it in a million years, bro. They took advantage of the sale. Like I said, like,
they sold the sale like 20% off, something like that?
40% off. 40%. They took all my shit. Could you believe that? That's damn near half off. I'm so mad I'll never do that again. But nah, it was love, man. It was a beautiful feeling, man. Made me feel back like I was giving back to the community, because I'm giving y'all 40% off. You know what I'm saying?
So what is your biggest markets in America?
My biggest market is, it's just the people. Like I say, like, who?
Everywhere, no region is bigger than other?
It's really worldwide. Look at Deja saying, like, if you look at our analytics, like, it's just, look at the map. I mean, we touch. I feel like I'm the dope dealer of, like, Ghost don't got nothing on me.
Yeah. Well, if you think about it, hookah's one of these things, because, you know, we travel a lot. So Atlanta is a heavy hookah hub.
Mm-hmm.
New York City, like you said, you spoke about the Dominican influence. So New York City is heavy on hookah.
Atlanta pretty heavy for me.
LA, people smoke hookah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's one of these things where no matter where you live,
Houston, they smoke it.
Houston, heavy on the hookah.
Yeah. I love Houston.
New Orleans is heavy with the hookah.
Yeah, New Orleans is heavy with the hookah. And you know what's crazy? That's the thing. Well, I know a lot of people always be like, your hood don't support. You know, your hood could be the last people. New Orleans be showing up and showing out for me. Like everywhere we go in New Orleans, you see, they smoking hookah pens. Like even Larry, my friend Larry, right here, he have. Establishment, which is my favorite place. I'm gonna plug it again. Treehouse, you know, Treehouse. Bam! Shout out to the baddest. Larry was at Treehouse watching the game, and Larry FaceTimed because I gave Larry some hookah pens, and he bought some hookah pens with him to Treehouse. And once people seen he had black smoke hookah pens, like they was embarrassing them. Like everybody was like, Larry was like, I just don't get it, cause we have hookah here. Like why are they acting like that behind black smoke? But my city, just no matter where you go in the city, you are gonna see people in there smoking their black smoke hookah pens. They definitely show love.
Yeah, look, how y'all looking in Miami? Cause I feel like that's a city that there's parties almost every day.
That's what's crazy. Is great. Miami. Miami is looking very good. That's why I've been talking to them about Miami. I say I really got to do something in Miami. And I visited Miami a couple weeks ago, and now I'm like, I got to find a penthouse out here. it's different. Look, like, Miami is just different.
Vibes. So let me ask you this. New Orleans is an interesting place because, like you said, it's a own culture, even historically. Like, you know what I mean? Like, everything is different. Like, the music, the food, even the language, like the Creole, everything, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's a whole different culture that historically has been different from a lot of other places, every other place in America. But there's also a lot of issues, violence, murder rate, stuff like that. So how has your experience been? Like, have you had issues or has it just been really like a positive? Because New Orleans is one of those places where there's a lot of negative news.
Mm-hmm.
So people hear about New Orleans and they're like, oh, it's murders, it's, you know what I'm saying? It's a lot of crime. Like, what's your thoughts on the city right now?
Yeah, so my thing is, I stay out the way. You know, I stay out the way. I almost don't leave the house unless I'm probably going to Treehouse. You know, I stay out the way. So, but for the most part, I would say I know my city be painted in such a negative way, but it's really love in New Orleans. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, every place have crime. Every place got they you know, their negatives and their positives. But I can speak for myself and for my circle of friends, which I have a successful circle of friends, like me, Super Scent, Larry Moreau, Jessica Dupar. Like, when we come to our city respect us and look at us as, like, pretty much as their way out and their blueprint. Mm-hmm. So I really feel like we are respected in the sense that it's just so much love, and it's just like you give me hope. We give them that bit of hope that sometimes you don't even get to see these kind of things, and you don't even think these kind of things are possible to achieve. So you can look on TV all day and see Puff Daddy a billionaire. You look on TV all day and see Jay-Z a billionaire. Even though somebody else achieved it, you're going to feel like, okay, that's them. But if you see the same person that you stood next to in the crawfish line getting a daiquiri and they became a millionaire, billionaire, now it's like, hold on, wait a minute. Like, you giving me hope for real. Protect
hold on,
this king.
Baby. Hold
you know
on,
what I'm saying?
Baby.
Protect this king at all costs.
All costs,
you
baby.
Know what I'm saying?
That real crawfish tough. Line.
Crawfish line getting a daiquiri.
You're buying a warehouse.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, ridiculous. Congratulations on Black Friday. Business is booming, but so do expenses. So how are you managing that? Because as you grow more, you got to get more inventory. There's more expenses. How are you managing that balance between profitability versus what you have to spend?
My CPA and Deja. Shout out to Deja. I don't got time to do it. No, Deja works with my CPA. I say, loop me in the meetings when you really need me there, because I got shit to do, you know? I got to go to Treehouse. Let me know what they say, you know? But yeah, we always want to make sure that we stay at a certain threshold and a certain number. And, like, you know, our profit got to be a certain amount. Like, you know, if we spend $2 million on inventory this month, we gross a blah, blah, blah amount of millions. And, you know, we spend this much on production. We got to make sure we had this much left in the account and spend this much on expenses. Like, she break down every single thing. It's times when she call and say, where did you spend $200 that out? I'm like, girl, look, I needed some gas. Gas is $80. How you spend $200? You know what I'm saying? So definitely keep that balance. But other than that, I mean, as far as the AP and stuff, Deja found out afterwards. She would have never approved of it. You know, approved of sometimes it. You got to be a little irresponsible to get responsibility. You
know? So,
I like that.
Let's talk about this employee that you had that drove 2 hours to work.
1 hour. Yes. 1 hour, and yes.
You,
yes.
You bought him a house. You bought him a house.
Yes. That was my very, very first employee. Her name is Keisha, and I just knew I was, you know, like I told you, I was going to drop this product, but I didn't know it was going to do this. So Keisha was the first person that came on the Black Smoke. I haven't even released it or told the world I was releasing it yet. Me and her was like inside of the room, stacking up the hookahs together, whatever the case may be. It's like, we're going to clear this room out one day. So Keisha was the very first employee, and she lives on the West Bank, and I live on the North Shore, which is like an hour drive. And she drives to work an hour every morning and back every afternoon. And Keisha is always the first one at work and always the last one to leave. Even when she like not on the clock no more, she still like, just to get ahead for tomorrow, I gotta be doing address corrections, I gotta be doing this, gotta be doing that. It's times where we have so many orders, and Keisha was pushing out the orders by herself because she was my first and only employee, that she would literally not see her kids for 2, 3, and 4 days. She'll literally sleep on the North Shore where the warehouse at, just so she could wake up 3 a.m, go start orders and leave out that 12 a.m. Like, that's the kind of commitment that she had to me. And she started that from the beginning before she knew what the company was going to become. You know, it's easy to find employees now that will probably won't come just ship and pack with Black Smoke because it's the popular thing. It probably seemed like the cool thing to do. Mm-hmm. But to have somebody else believed in me before I truly even believed in myself, before I even knew or witnessed what this was going to become, it's like a different kind of love and admiration that I will always have for Keisha. So still to this day, she was driving to work every morning and leaving every evening, driving the hour and never complained about it. It was just a fact in the back of my mind that I was realizing that she's still doing this. So what kind of other way that I could repay her, you know? So I had to make sure I got Keisha by that warehouse.
Shout out to Keisha.
Shout out to you, Keisha.
Yeah, that's a good one.
You're a real one.
No, that's important, man. You got to take care of your support.
Yeah.
Because you're only as good as a team.
As the people around you, absolutely, man.
Yeah, that's a fact. So let me ask you this. As far as you have the hookah, mm-hmm. are there other like ancillary products that you could produce like from the hookah? Like, are you selling, like, what is it actually called, those big things where you smoke hookah out of?
The hookahs.
That's the hookah.
Yeah, that's the
hookah. Oh, so that's the
hookah pin. So
what you're smoking is the shisha.
Is the shisha, yeah. Correct.
So hookah is the name of the
machine.
The machine.
Yeah, correct.
Oh, okay. I never knew that. I thought hookah was actually what you're smoking.
No.
So that's what I said. You got 15 shisha flavors.
15 shisha flavors.
All right. So do you sell hookah?
Yes.
You sell those?
Yes.
Okay, so you sell a hookah.
I sell a fruit shisha to put inside the hookah instead of the nicotine tobacco.
So what's all your product line? What's all the products that you sell? You sell this? You sell the fruit?
Yes.
Shisha?
I sell a hookah, the hookah pen, the hookah shisha, the hookah charcoals. I got 100% organic coconut charcoals. That's the black things that you can sit on top. In a club, when they sit on top of the foil, I sell a hookah foil. I sell the tips to smoke the hookah off. I have candy tips. I even have hookahs that light up. So I have my own batteries called Black Power to go inside of the hookahs.
You know what's missing?
The whole
what?
Merchandise.
Merchandise, like you talking about, like
clothes
and stuff like that.
That's what I'm saying.
Like
when we talked about, and shout out to my brother Burton, but like when you see that C, you know what it is, right? Mm-hmm. So like, I would imagine when we see this logo, people just want to support it, right? Because mm-hmm. it's something that brings us together. This is enjoyable. This is like a moment. And so when I see him wearing an accessory, I know we're connected because he's on the same time I'm on.
It was crazy is when I go on live and stuff and talk to him, I always have on my shirt or my hat, but we just make them within our company, our team. Like, I think you got on a Black Smoke hoodie right now. Yeah, see? And people be like, put them on the site. What can I buy them? And I just be like, we got too much going on. I can't see. Yo, we can barely keep up with these orders. We can barely keep up with these orders. I'm not about to stress me out. You know what I'm saying? So, but I feel like as the team grow and, you know, as the business constantly grow, we go touch other, you know, avenues and stuff like that. But right now, I think we overwhelmed.
So where is the name Black Tatic? Used to be a tattoo artist?
Man, no, man. I'm going to tell you, I'm so crazy, bro. I always had a wild imagination. I guess that's why I became successful, right? So I was literally creating my Instagram when I came from All Show, and I went to the tattoo shop when I got All Show. I was, at this point, I was All Show for like a month and a half. I had some money to blow. You hear me? I was like, who to give it to? The tattoo man. That's who I'm going to give it to. So I was in there, and I was creating my Instagram to make one when I'm going back All Show. And I was like, what to call myself? I already called myself Black. My whole family called me Black. Nobody called me by my government. My whole family called me Black. So I'm like, Black what though? I can't just say Black, because then people just call me like the color. I was like, oh, I'm about to get all these sleeves. I'm about to get my legs tatted, my arm tatted, my neck tatted. Black tatted. That boy, because you're going to see that boy Black tatted after today. You know? Guess what? But I had never had a tattoo yet.
You got all those tats in one day?
Fuck no. Oh. That's my point. I had never had a tattoo. Nobody told me that shit hurt. So when I made the name Black Tatted before I got in the chill, once he gave me that ink one time, I was like, I never got it finished. I never went back.
So you didn't even have any tattoos?
I got a half a sleeve.
On your neck.
Yes, I got a half. I went back and got this a couple of years after that. But I made the name Black Tatted thinking I'm about to be tatted up. I paid the man in full. He still followed me on Instagram to the day, so we never finished. And I said, we never is. That shit hurt. I don't know how people do that, bro. I'm never going back. No, indeed.
No.
No, indeed.
No, indeed. So, are you doing anything with Essence Fest?
Oh, so me and Larry was already talking about making sure I'm a part of Essence Fest next year. This year, I kind of missed my mark because, like I said, you know, the business is fairly new. So, yeah. It would have took so much. But now I got more little knowledge and understanding. So, definitely going to be a part of Essence Fest next year.
Larry, let's make sure that the biggest...
Yeah, we already spoke about that, Larry.
Okay. Yeah, we already... For the culture.
Wouldn't let him in the studio without that competition. But, so you got some pretty big influences, obviously, yeah. Lil Wayne, top of the line. Is there anybody that on your wish list, like if I can get my product in their hands, this would be even crazier?
Yeah, I'm talking about... I know this is wild. You know what I'm saying? I'm like... I know Hov and B probably to smoke something before. You know what I'm saying? They cool people. I'm like, damn, B, you know, been holding a Tesla bag. Like, you know, they hold a black smoke. But like people like Jay-Z, Beyonce, Nicki Minaj, Cardi B, and Drake, those kind of people, I'm looking at y'all. I'm looking at it.
This makes sense.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because at this point, like, who else?
Yeah, I think you know? Just bought a place out in New Orleans too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, J&B.
Write that down, y'all. Pull up. Yeah, I know. I'm just joking. Right. Yeah, just joking around.
Right. I know her sister used to live there.
Solange used to live there. Yep.
No, it's a good story. And I feel like it's something that, you know, it's so many different places that I see people smoke. Even in like, because you know, like summer basketball in New York is real big, like in the street, like street ball, stuff like that. And they starting to have hookah on the court.
Yeah,
star seats, and so this is way more convenient because it's like, yeah, like they literally have those big hookah machines, like
wow,
on the court, yeah. Like people smoking hookah.
Imagine somebody come to get the ball. New York, wow.
Even like this is way more convenient than having that big hookah.
Yeah, that's dope. You ever thought about having ambassadors?
I didn't, but I mean, I'm open to it. Like I'm saying, like everything just happens so fast, bro.
The Black Smoke Girls.
Ooh. Yeah.
Okay.
We do?
Yeah, but I'm saying we never do it. We made a list, like, you know, we thought about it, but we never did it. And people be writing all the action. How can I become an ambassador? Can I get on the ambassador list? It's like, yeah, I'm like, add them to the list. We got this long list that we just never did nothing with. Yeah. But I'm going to get 2023. I'm coming for you, boy.
2023. You
know? So before we wrap, what's some of your plans like for next year? Like, what are you looking forward to in the next year or two?
What I'm looking forward to, because it have become this whole social media thing that people always talk about how they love going to hookah spots, right? And they go to hookah spots and they willing to pay for the hookahs there. They don't mind paying for it, but they literally want to put the black smoke shishas. They want to smoke the black smoke shisha only. They were like, I even pay your price for your shisha, but can't you put the black smoke in it? So it was this funny thing I was tagged in on Instagram, this hookah spot in North Carolina. It was so popular where people were bringing black smoke to it. They literally had a sign by the door say no black smoke products allowed. So they be literally saying, black. You got to give us some black smoke hookah spots. We don't want to go to them hookah spots, all that nicotine, all that tobacco. So I just want to say I'm never not working. I hear you, King and Queens.
Well, that's what I was saying. That's fire. I feel like if you get those, because, yeah, there's so many hookah spots that's out there, and if they can have a healthy alternative that still tastes good, I would go there for sure.
Yeah.
So that's my big goal and big plan for 2023. I'm very excited about
that distribution gonna be crazy, man. I'm sure that the people listening here are like, all right, we got to get this in our spot. So
if you're a restaurant owner or club owner, you should be early. You should be reaching out
right now.
Are restaurant owners reaching out to you?
Everyone you could probably think of, man. It's crazy. Even the strip clubs.
Strip club?
Yes, everybody reaching out, man.
Support black businesses.
Strip club, yeah.
We do. Support them.
Yeah, man.
Well, it's been a pleasure, my brother.
Black. Such a pleasure.
Thank you. How can the people follow you on social media, website, all of that stuff?
Yeah, you can follow me at Black Tatted and Black Smoke. So the thing that people be having a problem with at Black Tatted and Black Smoke is because they spell black with a B-L-A-C-K. There's no C. It's B-L-A-K-K Tatted and B-L-A-K-K Smoke. And also the website is blacksmoke.com.
And so Black Tatted is your personal page.
Personal.
Black Smoke is your
business page. Correct.
Got it.
Yeah, highly recommended. Highly respected.
Thank you. Appreciate y'all.
First time that we've actually tried the product. Live. And it didn't disappoint.
It didn't. We're gonna have to get a bundle over here.
Yeah, I need the bundle pack. Yes.
God, I told you that's the most popular flavor, the bundle. You see that? I ain't lying.
That's really good.
What's the most popular flavor? Oh, it's called all of them.
Every
all
of them. That's what the most popular
all three of them.
All three of them. That is a fact. Troy, housekeeping items?
Yo, shout out to everybody on EYL University. Shout out to everybody on Patreon.com. And shout out to all the earners that are worldwide. I say worldwide because it's just that, man. We got love from a lot of places throughout the world. So shout out to you and shout out to Black, man. Like, this is a really good pair. I'm gonna go upstairs with this and this will probably be done tonight. So I'm gonna try some new flavors, man.
Thank you. Appreciate you. We're
gonna help support this, man. And we got some business to do.
Black smoke is the movement, baby.
Black smoke is the vibe.
One puff on our way out, please.
That's puffing on EYL, baby.
On our way out.
The biggest.
Talking Lil Wayne. Go ahead. Appreciate y'all, man. Such an honor.
That was my slow-mo.
Did y'all get that on video?
Yo, love is love. Yo, we out. Peace.
My graduates from my school being Forbes. Backdrop.
Backdrop.
A mic drop. Backdrop.
Backdrop.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.